Had the privilege of spending some time with some great folks this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Matter of fact, Paul was there for some of that, and man, I tell you, we ate good in more ways than one. One of the guys that was there brought up the issue of a church that had 6,500 people in it. Let me just say this. Well, I'm going to leave that alone. 6,500 people in it before COVID, and then COVID came, and bam, about 20% of the church came back. They haven't seen the other folks. If you've seen them, please tell them they're missed. But 6,500 down to 20%. What's 20% of 6,500, mathematicians? Huh? Yeah, left about 1,800. Let's just round it off. Say 1,500 folks came back out of 65. Is that okay? Just round figures. 1,500 out of 65. That means how many are missing? 5,000. And the question was asked, why do you think that happened? And my answer is, I have no idea. I don't know why. I don't know why that happened that way. I wasn't part of that. I haven't exit interviewed those folks. But it brought up an issue for me, and I want to go back to Wednesday night just for a few moments. We're in John chapter number 3 and 4. John 3 and 4. John 3 and 4. If you have your Bible, if not, you're familiar with the lady that Jesus had to go through Samaria, and he goes to a well, and there's a woman there. Jesus went to meet a woman at a well. He was there on purpose. He was there by the leadership of the Spirit of God. And you know the story. You ask her for a drink of water, and she says, what are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for, and a woman at that, for a drink of water? And he said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask of him. He would give you water that you'd never thirst again. And, of course, he's talking about life that comes from him, that fountain of life. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, the Spirit's presence in our life that rejuvenates and ministers to us in those times of prayer, or maybe reading the Word. Like this morning, I just had myself, I don't know about you, I like chocolate pie, and somebody breaks one out, I'm going to cut a piece. I'm going to get my slice. Amen? Jesus was in the house this morning, so I just wanted to spend some time in his presence. I can't change a lot of things in the world, but I find out when I get in his presence, something begins to happen, and I begin to change in meeting with him. And here's this woman who is there by herself at the well. Some people suggest that it's because of her lifestyle. She is somewhat marginalized. She's an outsider because of her immoral lifestyle or whatever. And Jesus talks to her and says, hey, what about your husband? And not exactly that way, but he brings up the issue of marriage and her husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right on. You've had five, and the guy that you're with now is not your husband. And amazing. She says, I perceive you're a prophet. And she says, you know, let me back up here, and I'm going to get you to read it with me. Look at this. He says in verse 25, they get into a theological argument about the place of worship, and then he says this in verse, she says, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. He had told her about herself, the woman. She said, verse 19, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Over here, she says it, the Messiah. Is she thinking in terms of elevating who he is? She's beginning to see something more than just a guy who's a Jew. He's read her mail, and she's saying, I believe that you're a prophet. And then she says, I know the Christ is coming, and when he comes, he's going to tell us all kinds of things here. She says, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus, he drops the bomb. He says, I that speak to you am he. The one taught me. You said the Christ is coming. I'm telling you, he's here, and that's me. He didn't have a little red button on his shoulder that said, Christ. He wasn't glowing in the dark. He had read her mail for sure. But what does she do? What is her response? She forgets why she came to the well. She leaves her water pot and she runs back to the town. And she says, come see a man. What did she say? Well, I know that when the Christ has come, He would tell us all things. What does she tell the people in the town, the men in the town? She says, come see a man that told me all the things I've... He told me things he couldn't have known. I think she was saying to them, I think the Christ is sitting at the well. I think I just met the fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament, and he's sitting at the well. I read that and I thought, well, here's a woman that's marginalized, and she comes to the well by herself, but she goes back to the town and has such influence, she gets the whole town to come to the well. Think about it. She comes to the well by herself to get water, goes back to the town. I mean, did she know something about all those people that they dared not come? Or was it that she was of great influence, but her message was? It wasn't the woman that was influencing that village. It was the message. Come see. I mean, she hadn't even been to seminary. She hadn't taken the discipleship class. All she knew was that she had met someone at the well, and she believed him to be the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises from the Edenic promise forward. See, the Samaritans only lived on the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. But there was enough in the Pentateuch to alert her to the fact that God had made a promise that what had happened in the fall would be corrected by one who would come. It would be the seed of the woman. So the Christ is, look at somebody next to you said the Christ was at the well. The Christ, and everybody in the town shows up at the well. I wish we need to change the name of the church here to the well. Jesus is at the well. Or maybe I could say that about you. No, you're not you. Jesus, come see. And they say, the text says that some believe because of word, but then they came to Jesus, and they believe because of his word. What was his word? His word to her was, I'm he. And then what do they confess? They confess, we believe his word. What was it that they believed? Well, they stated what they believed. Listen to this. This is parallel to Peter's statement when Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven has made this real to you. What did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a brilliant moment. But it wasn't Peter's intellect. It was God's revelatory power that had caused Peter to realize that he had been hanging out with the Christ, the Son of the living God. These people say something similar. We believe that you are the Christ, the Savior of the world. Come on. There may be people in this building that can't make that statement from a position of faith. You believe in God, but hey, Hindus believe in gods. They believe in a whole bunch of them. I was in India. They had little things everywhere, gods everywhere. Oh, Samaritans believed in God, but they were living in expectation of the coming of one who would be the fulfillment of God's promises, who would take away the sin of the world, the Savior. Behold, the Lamb. He stayed 2 days. I wish I could have been in on those meetings. Somebody say, me too. I wish I could have been in on those meetings. In 2 days, great sorrow, he left town physically. And he came back to a place where he had been before. The Bible says in chapter number 4, he comes back to Cana of Galilee. What had happened in Cana of Galilee? That's where he performed his first miracle. His first sign, John calls them signs. A sign is not something that talks about itself. It points away from itself towards something or someone else, some other reality. Wow. He had worked a great miracle there. It was phenomenal. They'd run out of wine. His mom says, hey, Jesus, they've run out of wine. What is that to me, woman? What do I have to do? My hour has not yet come. She's not put off by that. She says, hey, whatever he says to you, you just do it. Wonder where she got that idea. Hanging out with Jesus as your boy in the house. I don't know. I'm not saying he made little birds and made them fly or anything like that out of clay, but something must have happened to cause her to believe just whatever he says to you, just do it. reminds me of the Old Testament where it says, the prophet told her, it says, gather up vessels, not just a few, and then take that little quart jar of oil you've got and start pouring. I mean, a quart is a quart is a quart is a quart until God gets involved. Do whatever he says. And you know the story. I could get caught up in that. But turns the water somewhere between the dip and the drink, and the master of the feast says, hey, you know, most folks, they would say they serve the first wine, the good wine first. I'll get it. I drank too much wine. And then they served the bad stuff because it don't matter. Because I don't think it was Welch's grape juice. I think it was the real stuff. And Jesus, he didn't know Jesus had done, but he said, this stuff is better than anything I've ever tasted. This is really, 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 really good wine here. And those who had been privy to what was going on, it says, believed. Now, everybody didn't know what was going on. It wasn't a sensational moment where y'all watch this. But those who had been privy, who had seen it as water and then seen it as wine, it says they believed. That's the purpose of signs. The purpose of signs is to confirm something, to point away from itself to something else. Well, Jesus comes back to Cana of Galilee where he had turned, and the text says that. John says, he's clear. John says where he had turned water into wine. Now, wouldn't you think that water into wine, that miracle that they had talked about that among themselves? Come on. A little town like Point. And some guy comes along and turns water into wine. I mean, whether you believe in wine or you don't, that's not the issue. The issue is a miracle like that, you just can't put that under, you know, just keep it a secret. I think they probably talked about it, don't you? If you had heard about something like that, wouldn't you be inquiring about the guy who did that? Who the world is that dude? Where did he come from? And Jesus makes some interesting statements, a couple of rebukes. One, he says, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country or his own homeland. A prophet is not without honor. And then he says this. Because as a nobleman had heard that he had come back to Cana, and he traveled the 20 to 25 miles uphill, 1,350 feet. I measured it on my program, man. 1,350. He came to Jesus, 20 miles or 25, depending. And he tests Jesus. Jesus, you not got to come. You got to come. My son is dying. You please come down, and heal my son. How many of you believe he had faith? He believed something about Jesus, didn't he? He believed Jesus could heal. Maybe that was based on the miracle thing that this guy, if he could change water into wine, then maybe he can help my son. And so he shows up believing with a faith that says Jesus can heal. And then Jesus makes this astonishing statement. This guy is confessing his faith in Jesus. You come with me. I believe. Come. And Jesus says, except you people see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Go on, the guy believes. What does he believe? He believes that Jesus can heal. How many say, I believe Jesus can heal? Yeah. I believe. And Jesus says, except you people, and it's plural. It's not a single except you. Let's do it southern. Except y'all believe. Or except y'all see signs and wonders. You won't believe. But come on now, the guy believes, right? So immediately the text has me asking questions, and I'm digging more. Except you all see signs and wonders. Let me ask you a question. Do miracles inform people, or does it confirm what they've been informed about? That's an interesting question. I'll let you ponder that. If this morning there was someone here with a withered hand, with a hand, a crippled hand, and suddenly Brother Seymour prayed for him in Jesus' name, and would you start worshiping Brother Seymour? But something happened, right? What would you do? You're informed. Who did that? But suppose you got cast up on the Isle of Malta, and nobody there had ever heard about this Jesus business. And a snake bit you, and you shake it off in the fire, and they all go, "He's a murderer." And then when you don't die, they go, "He's a god." But if you're informed, then what do you understand? God intervened. Gate Beautiful. There's a man sitting there who has been in that condition, unable to walk for 40 years. Must have been a congenital problem. And he can't walk. He's sitting there and he begs every day. And they come along and they say, Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none." How many of y'all can say that? "But such as I have," how many of y'all can say that? "Give I thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he reached out his hand and he pulled him. I won't pull you up. Because you can walk anyway. He pulled him up and he went leaping and dancing and praising God. And Peter takes the opportunity and he says, "I want to tell you something. Don't look at us like we are some kind of super people or we're more pious than anybody else. We're not the ones who did this, but the one that you crucified and you put in a grave, God raised him from the dead. He exalted him by placing him at his own right hand. Dead people don't do this kind of stuff. This is proof that he's alive. That's a sign." They didn't preach miracles. They preached Jesus resurrected. The sign then becomes the occasion that underscores the truth of the message he declares. "If you repent," he says, "because you did what you did in ignorance and in unbelief." Somebody else said that, like Paul or somebody. "You did it, but if you will repent, even now God will send times of refreshing. The heavens hold him, but he will come and he is going to restore all things. But until he comes, you can experience his presence." Can you imagine what would have happened in Jerusalem if all the leaders had gotten it right? I won't even go there. That's too much territory there. And too many things I don't understand. But he didn't take the moment for photo op with the jumping heel guy. What did he do? If you want to know how this miracle happened, I want to tell you it happened because of the one that is alive. That's what Peter says on the day of Pentecost. He says, "That which is being poured out here, that's the result of the one you crucified, but God raised him from the dead." Dead men don't pour this. No. Say with me, he's alive. It's a secret. He's alive. He is alive. So there's Jesus. You guys won't believe except you see signs and wonders. And then he says something to the dude. "Hey, dude." I kind of think Jesus is probably, "Yeah. Go your way." But he didn't stop there. Comma. "Your son lives." Say it with me. "Your son lives." Now, I can say those words. But it's a whole different ballgame when you have to put up or shut up. "Go your way." Where's the son? He's in a bed 20, 25 miles away. There's distance. Are you there? Come on now, think about this. It's Sunday morning. We're in the building. I got the air conditioner running, so it's somewhat comfortable in here. And I've read the story 20 times. So come on. The boy is 20 to 25 miles away, and Jesus says, "Go your way, your son lives." The guy believed him enough to turn and go away. His first claim and belief was, Jesus, if you come with me, my son can be healed. Now Jesus says, go you where your son lives. That's enough. He leaves. Sounds like his faith is progressing. He moved from come with me to I got your word. That's good. And when he's traveling back home, what happens? He meets some of his servants, because he was a nobleman. That is, he was someone that was in probably Herod's court or some kind of official. He was a well-off dude with a lot of authority, but he didn't have any authority over sickness because he comes looking for Jesus. That may be why you're here this morning. You can't face the problem that's in your life. You need some supernatural help. His name is, I don't have any counsel that's so great that it will set you free, but I know Jesus. I know the risen Lord of glory, and he's able to do things that nobody else in this room and all of us in this room can't do if we put our strength and our minds together. Jesus, go your way, your son lives. And there he goes. And he runs into his servants. Come on, I know I'm telling a story this morning, but it's a story with purpose. It's a sign. What does he do? The servants say, hey, guess what? Your son lives. What did Jesus say? Go your way, your son lives. And what did they say? What's their report? Your son lives. Sounds like Jesus' word worked out. Jesus said, your son lives. And so what happens? The son was alive. Wow. Incredible. The psalmist says he sent his word. If the one who stood on the balcony of space and looked into the void of darkness and said, let there be, and there was, couldn't he say, your son? If the one who breathed life into the nostrils of Adam there in a garden, into a piece of mud shaped like a man, and suddenly the mud comes alive, couldn't he say, your son lives? I'm not sure I'm ready to handle all that's, it's like getting hit with a concussion from an exploding bomb. It rocks me. And then it says this, and he and his house, it's the last verse. Yeah, I thought he already believed. I think personally, and I think we could take it from Scripture without hurting this text at all. He believed what the Samaritans had believed. But get this, they believed it without a sign. Except you people see signs. A prophet is without, they honored him just based on what he said about himself. Oh, I know he read her mail, but he didn't heal anybody. He didn't do any water into wine miracles. He didn't cleanse any lepers. He didn't raise anybody from the dead. All he did was say, yeah, you've had the one that speaks to you, I'm he. I'm going to tell you something, and this is just one of the conclusions. I don't have time to finish everything. But if you don't have a word-based faith in the days in which we live, you're in deep trouble. If all you got is emotion and you saw a miracle once, you're in deep trouble. Because the faith that is unshakable is the faith that says, I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I know he's the Word incarnate, and I know that he lived a sinless life, and I know that he was crucified, and I know that he died a literal death, and I know that he was buried in that tomb. But I also know that because of God's promise and the power of the Spirit, he was raised from the dead. He showed himself to be alive by infallible proofs for 40 days, and then he ascended and was exalted. For God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That better be a solid thing inside, because your faith is going to get tested. The enemy could care less about your bank account. He could care less about your health. Those are tools to get at what he's really after, and that is your faith, your confidence in God. Don't let go of your confidence, says the writer of Hebrews. You went through tough times, and you join with those who went through tough times. Don't let go of your confidence now. Amen. Hold on to what you believe about Jesus. Simple message this morning. You need a faith that will endure the fire And I need a faith that will endure the fire. And just miracles alone do not inform our faith. They may confirm what we believe. They may be encouraging. They may meet a need in our life. But it is the revelation that's in God's word. Faith comes by, not by seeing. Blessed are those who have not seen and believed. What do you do if God gives you a promise and you don't see it for 35 years? What if the dragon who's given power to make war with the saints and overcome them causes suffering that doesn't go away? How do we overcome? See, in the culture in which we live, overcoming is the guy with the biggest house, best car, nicest clothes, and the gold faucets in his bathroom. Nothing wrong with gold faucets if you have them, but we'd like you to cash them in. We'd like to feed some folks. They'll come out of that water. You may not believe this, but water will come out of plastic PVC just as well as it will out of gold plated. I'm sorry. Just had to. That's a bit of a dig. Sorry. But what happens if, like Antipas and those people that he talks to in the Revelation, you're going to be thrown in jail for 10 days. The devil's going to do this to you. Oh, good Jesus, you're going to get us out? Like, yeah. No. Some of you will die. But be faithful. Like my witness, Antipas, who was faithful unto death. We live in a world that wants to make God our little genie in a bottle. And whatever you want, if you can believe, you can have it. And I'm going to tell you, we live in a world in which God is honored by our faith. These people in Samaria honored Jesus because they just believed his word. And even when Jesus didn't come to the rescue of Antipas, and I'm almost there, he died a faithful witness. Jesus calls himself the faithful and true witness. And what a higher honor could you have than Jesus to say of Antipas, he's my faithful witness. Be faithful unto death. And it is your faith that will keep you faithful. Sometimes those words are hard to figure out which way pistis is supposed to go. Pistis is the Greek word for faith. Sometimes it's hard to figure, pisteo. It's hard to figure out which is that the life which I live by the faith of God or the faithfulness of Christ. It's harder. Faith produces faithfulness. And you can't be faithful. If you're waiting for signs and wonders to believe, how many have already seen signs and wonders? I was in a meeting, and I'm almost there. I was in a meeting. A guy came forward for prayer. His problem was he had broken ribs. You could see the wrappings underneath his shirt. And the evangelist said, very low key, we're going to pray. Okay, we prayed. He finished praying this simple, quiet, almost, I mean, I wasn't stirred, but he wasn't praying to me. And then he reaches up and grabs a fistful of air. This was years ago down on Napoleon Avenue in New Orleans, corner of Napoleon and Canal. And he, pow, hits that guy in the rib cage. And I thought, oh, whoa. And the guy takes a big breath of air and goes, whoa, I'm healed. And he wasn't a plant. I mean, he wasn't somebody paid to do this. This guy really had broken ribs. And, I mean, anybody here ever have a broken rib? It's hard to breathe. Slap you in your rib, look out. This guy was healed. He went dancing around the church. The guy comes out of the bathroom. My rash is gone. A little nun goes berserk over here because something happened in her life. And I'm sitting there going, whoa, God is in this place. But I didn't get, listen, that was a blessing. I still remember it. But you know what gets people saved is when Peter steps up after the miracle is over and when he says, the one you crucified. That's an informed faith. Now I have something to believe, not just something that I go, wow, something's happening here. But I want to encourage you. Get in the Word. When John is on the Isle of Patmos, remember, we went through this. He said, I heard a voice. We need to be careful what voices we're listening to. He turned. Some of us need to quit listening to all the junk and we need to get back. And faith comes by hearing, and here's the literal translation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, by the word of Jesus said, I am the, if you're here today and you've not come to that conclusion, let me tell you, you can do it this morning. Because that man went home, started off as, I believe he's a healer. I believe his word is good. But then he and his family came to, I believe, the same place of faith that's a Samaritan's. You say, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. Well, that's great. Again, Hindus do that. But do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he is the Christ, the promised Messiah? Do you believe that he died? Do you believe that he was buried? Do you believe that he was raised from the dead? Do you believe that he ascended? Do you believe that he's been exalted? Let me throw another one in. Do you believe he's the baptizer? Do you believe he is the one who is the sanctifier? Do you believe that he is the one who's coming back again? And we live in anticipation of that. Again, I referenced that sermon several times, but Brother Paul said that is the hope that sustains us. And sweetie, if all you got is a miracle somewhere 20 years ago, you need a resurrected Savior in your now. You need a informed faith to walk through these days of political unrest and the silencing of voices, and fear lurks in every corner. But I know who he is, and so do you. And that makes all the difference. Do you think that little guy and his family may have talked about what happened to their son? But do you think that's all they talked about, or do you think they talked about the one who did it? You got a story to tell. Anybody here ever healed? Look at there. Yeah. I was healed of polio as a little boy. I've been healed, experienced God's touch in my life. There are times when I prayed for people to get healed and I got their sickness. So I'm not trying to. But I know he's able to. But I point away from that to who he is. Tell him about the healing, but also, you know, I didn't heal myself. They said I wouldn't be able to walk in tennis shoes or run track. I did it all. Wasn't real good at it, but I did it. He's alive. Oh, come on. He's look at somebody next to you and say, there really is a Jesus, and he's alive. This thing's real. And I don't know. I can't say for sure. I'm ready. I'm finished talking. I get tired of listening to myself unless I'm talking about Jesus. I don't know, maybe, just a guess. 5,000 people didn't show back up. Let's just say 4,500. Let's just round it off to 4. Could it be that we live in a world where there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but they don't know the Christ of Christianity? I'm not calling you to doubt your salvation, but if you don't have a no-so salvation, then today is your day. It's your chance to get right with God. And if you're a believer, then today I pray that your faith has been affirmed by what God says in his word. That you honor Jesus every day by saying, your word's good enough for me. But I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the promised one, the Mashiach. I believe you're Yeshua HaMashiach. I believe you're the one that was promised to Adam and Eve in the garden. And I believe you're the one that was promised in Isaiah's prophecy, the servant to come. I believe. And you know, it may be that, and I don't want to get off on another trail, but I think if you want to see miracles, don't come to church. Then do what? The miracle Jesus did in church, he cast a devil out of a guy in church. All that other wonderful stuff he did out in the marketplace, most of it. On the cutting edge of evangelism and doing the mission, that's where the power is needed, and that's where God confirms his word. And that's where serpent bites are flung off into the fire. And Publius and his household believe. God's called you and I to be the missionaries out there. Oh, you say I'm not a missionary. Oh, you may not have a card, and you may not be in a foreign field, but how many of you know America is a mission field? And a friend of mine told me, he said, either you're a missionary or a mission field. You're a missionary or a mission field. You're a missionary or a mission field. Thank you for the privilege of being able to tell people that you're alive, that Calvary really did happen and the empty tomb is real. Thank you for that. I don't know what needs are here today, but it would be just like you, Jesus, to step into this room and do something no one else could do to heal someone. Not just for the sake of the healing, but to confirm the word that we preach today. To honor your son, Jesus, Father. That's what the church prayed. Stretch forth your hand to do signs and wonders. Not so we can believe, but so others can believe the truth of the word that we share. The confirming signs and wonders. Thank you, Lord, for these who've gathered here today. Thank you for what you're doing in this house. Thank you for what you're doing in this house. Thank you, Lord.
My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made.
Amazing. You did it all. You did it.
I hear the rolling thunder.
Thy power throughout the universe
thy
displayed.
Thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Sing it together. Then sings my soul.
Then sings my soul.
Savior, the Son of God. How we close this morning before you get back out in the mission field. You're here today and you need prayer for something, whatever it is. I don't need to know. He's the one who does the work. But if you have a prayer need this morning, I'd sure love you to come. We'd like to join you in believing that the one who spoke a word over a little boy 20 miles away is in this room and can minister to your need. You say, can you guarantee me he'll heal me? All I can say to you is that he did it before, and he can do it again. Can I guarantee you that he will? No, I can't. But I know this, that if you believe in him for your salvation, There's coming a day. Oh. When these old bodies of ours, and I'm sure looking forward to that. We're going to be changed in the moment and twinkling of an eye, and you spend an eternity with him. Anyone else, come and join Dean. Anybody need prayer, come. Come on, Dale, help me out. Some of you come and help me pray for our brother. Come on, church, yes. Yes. How great thou art. We believe he's great. He's too wise to make a mistake. Yes, yes, yes.
Then sings my soul.
Thank you for a faith that will take you at your word and that will trust you when our time schedule isn't working out. For you're not slack concerning your promises. You will come, not willing that any should perish. And however you want to use us in this process, we're available. Thank you for strengthening our faith today. A faith that can endure the fiery furnace and the testings of life. That will come out the other end and say, he's who he says he is. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's alive. Thank you for each one who joined us today. Thank you for your presence in this place. Last Sunday was Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. I need some readers. I need some readers. There's a name attached to that. What does that name say? If you read your own name, I'm in trouble.
Cindy.
Cindy. Yeah, come on. Come on. Come on down, Cindy. We were going to make a big deal of this last week, but we're making a little deal of it this time. Mrs. Hogan, would you read that name, please? Josh Boykin. Well, I tell you what, Denny, you can come receive for Josh. Yeah. Oh, we got one more. Sorry.
Callie McLeod.
Come on, Sister Callie. Just want to wish everybody here happy Valentine's Day. I hope your Valentine is with you today. And Sister Callie, if you need some help with that candy, let us know. I didn't hear a word you said. I'm deaf. We also have a bed sheet out in the foyer, and you're welcome to use it to take a picture with your sweetie. We have a photographer that's going to be out there, and she's going to be taking pictures that we're going to use for our directory and stuff like that. But you're welcome to get a picture for yourself and your family so you can Photoshop it and put it on your website. on Facebook. Is everybody's picture on their Facebook page? Did you Photoshop that, or is that really you? Yeah, never mind. But anyway, if you'll stop in the foyer on the way out, you can get a picture, and we're just so thrilled that you came today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being in the house, for the Tidwells who came all the way. You guys drove all the way from, was it Missouri, Kansas? I forget. California? Do it again. Fort Smith, Arkansas. Give a hand to Fort Smith, Arkansas. Wow. Where are you guys from? Whoa, they drove in all the way from Colorado. Are you visiting family? Thanks for being here today, taking time out of your vacation or whatever, your visit, to join us today. Glad you guys came. What's your son's name? Caleb. Oh, boy, what a name. Caleb. Anybody remember that guy? Yeah, said, give me that mountain. Glad Caleb was here today. And there are others. I'm sorry. All of you, thank you for being here. You may stand. And on the count of three, you're dismissed. Three. Thanks for being here today.